You're listening to the Backstage Cast podcast, hosted by Hannah Twigwell and brought to you by Tommy.
The Backstage Pass podcast is a guide for upcoming artists and newcomers to the music industry. Each week, I speak to experts in different fields, and in this episode, I'll be talking to professional producer and DJ Owen Norton about his top tips for new DJs. Owen Norton, hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Hannah. How are you?
I'm good. I feel like we haven't seen each other for ages. You are a DJ and a producer. You've done official remixes for massive artists like Chainsmokers, Selena Gomez, Flo Rida, many more. So I'm going to ask you some quickfire questions.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Analog or digital?
Analog. Sounds better.
Mac or PC?
Mac, but I actually run it as a PC, so both.
CD or vinyl?
Vinyl. 100%.
Obviously, with you doing electronic music, I thought you would go for digital. And CD, maybe CD, but yeah.
Well, the funny thing is, my dad used to be a DJ. I've told his story a few times, but like he has some turntables, some old Technics, and he's got like maybe 1,000, probably more records. So when I was young, I used to watch him playing, and there's a photo somewhere, I might put it on Instagram, of like a three-year-old me sat just like at the decks with the headphones on. And now I guess that's like one of the first times I was introduced to like house and dance music.
So did you start off on vinyl?
No, I never learned how to play vinyl properly, but that was like how I was introduced to like the whole DJ. Music just sounds better on vinyl with like the crackle. And even now in a lot of my productions, you have like a vinyl crackle, like sample that I use in like the introductions and in verses and stuff like that. So
what's your current sort of setup then when you're DJing?
I just use the standard Pioneer setup, which like every club has. So I just have to show up with my USB stick full of music and a pair of headphones, and I'm good to go.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is that what you did when I saw you went on was it a week-long tour in China?
I did nearly a month. It was...
Did you?
I think it was 3 weeks. I played in like 10 different cities, so that was hectic. But yeah, just try to come around with a USB stick.
Do you feel scared if you use a USB that you'll accidentally lose it?
I have a few backups, but actually on the first show that I played in China, I left my USB in like the DJ booth after because I was like,
no.
The show was like so much bigger than I expected. And, well, you know, when you perform, you have like this crazy, like adrenaline feeling inside of you. It's hard to describe unless you've ever like played in front of a crowd or, but I guess it's the same as what like a footballer has in, you know, playing a game.
Yeah.
But like your brain just doesn't work properly after. So I was just like so hyped on how the show went. I left everything behind. Then the next morning we had to go back to the club and get it.
So aside from not leaving a USB stick in the booth, what other advice would you give to DJs, up-and-coming DJs?
So first, it's really hard to get booked at the start. It's something I definitely struggled with. Maybe you have a song that did quite well and you think, wow, the gig should be flying in and stuff like that, and it's not always the case. So sometimes you have to do favors, you know, like play for free. And I know there's a big thing about playing for exposure and stuff, and people go, you know, you should know your own price, but sometimes that's what it takes, you know. Do favors for people, try do as many gigs as you can. Every club is going to be different, and every city you play, every country you play is going to be different, so you can't play the same set every night. And that's like a skill you learn. You learn what the music trends are in a certain country or city. As much as your ego can get in the way of thinking, I'm going to play all my own songs, they're going to love it, it's not always the case. So, you know, you should learn to read a room and adapt and almost play the music that the crowd wants to hear. I mean, it's good to have a balance for like integrity. But if you have that balance right and you're playing, you know, make sure the songs the crowd wants to hear and will like, and some of your own stuff, and you can make it blend, then I think that's like the winning formula.
Is it hard to read a room? Because I always imagine DJs when they're trying to read a room. I mean, most of the feedback is visual, right? From the crowd.
Yeah, for sure.
What if it's like, I've seen some shows where it's super dark and the only thing happening sporadically is like strobe lighting. Do you find it harder to read a room in that situation?
Well, sometimes. It is mainly visual, but you can also hear a crowd. Like, because how a DJ booth set up, you have the booth monitors and then the speakers which played to the crowd. And you can, a lot of the time, on like a chorus or something, I'll turn the booth monitors completely off, and I can hear if people are, you know, singing along. And like a lot of time when people are liking the song, there's a lot of like screaming and cheering and stuff. So that, but you can tell on people's faces sometimes, you know, if they're not liking the music and if people aren't dancing as much. And even on a strobe, you get like a glimpse. Yeah. And like, if you just watch someone for 5 seconds on a strobe, so you'll see once every second, if they've not moved, then you know they're not really feeling it. Either that or they need to have some more drinks.
I guess all that stuff kind of feeds into the production side of things, doesn't it? I know that you've been producing your own music for a long time and doing remixes for other people. And do you feel like the progression of your kind of production and the skill level of your production has skyrocketed because you've been DJing more?
Yeah, it's harder when you do one-off shows, just like a show here and there, if you're trying to like perfect a song based on a crowd. But like when you do a tour, it's really nice because you can be working on a song that's not 100% finished yet, but as I call it, it's playable. So like it'll work in a crowd, but like mixing wise, it's not like perfect, ready for streaming and that. And you can if you're doing a tour, you can play a song on the first night, and then you can just watch how people react. Obviously, it's a song that no one's heard before, so people aren't going to be singing along. But if they're dancing to it, then you know. And sometimes I'll think, right, this section's too long. Like if you've got a verse which is like a minute, and then you can see people are like tailing off, they're just ready for like the, you know, like the impact, the drop. Yeah. Sometimes a song like doesn't work at all. I mean, you can take in the feedback and you know, and adapt a song. So that's really nice. I mean, you work on it the next day in the hotel, and then you play it again the next night.
Do you use super expensive headphones, or do you rate headphones that are more expensive, or do you use headphones that are like an industry standard? Where's your kind of how picky are you about headphones these days?
For headphones, there's only one pair I will use to DJ with. They're called V-Moda. It's not sponsored, but I'm a big fan of the company. These are the headphones that I wear live.
Oh, cool.
And they have I'll show the camera. They have my name, I think it might be backwards, but they have my name on the side as well. So they're cool.
Nice. Since you first started out, you must have learnt some pretty big lessons, I guess, like on the business side of things. Is there anything that you would say to other DJs to be aware of?
Sometimes when I had like my first opportunities, like a big artist wanted a remix, or, you know, a label was interested in a song, or like a manager approached me or something, it's easy to get like carried away and get excited and just want it to like, the finished product to be there straight away. Or even like when I first do a remix and I'm wanting shows, you know, sometimes you get a little carried away in your head and you just want things to be going faster, and you know, you become a little impatient. So a big lesson I've learned is not to annoy people. Sometimes I'd be like on the email, like following up every day and stuff like that, and in the end you just piss people off. You know, you have to have a little bit of patience, especially when you're dealing with like a big label or something. You got to understand they have so many artists that they're working with. You know, they're not going to reply straight away. It doesn't mean they're not interested in you. But yeah, so that's something I've definitely learned. You've got to be patient.
Tell us about the new music that you've been releasing, because I know that you've had a track out, didn't you?
Recently? Yeah. I just released a single called Colours. Really happy with the response so far. I ended up in this routine where I was getting up, going to the gym, and then I'd be back home for 11 and just start working then. And I feel like once I've exercised, I've been so much more productive. Even though I'm spending maybe less hours in the studio, I'm working, like being more productive. There's a saying, work, I believe it's work smarter, not harder. Yeah, being in the right mind frame, I've just been making a lot more music. So to get to the point, I have a ton of music coming out.
And speaking of new music, what is your track of the week?
Track of the week? Oh, this is hard. Well, first I'd pick Colours, but I think it's cheating picking my own song. So I would have to say the new song with Camel Fat and Noel Gallagher. I love that song. I'm listening to it so much.
I don't think I've heard that, actually. I'll have to check that
out.
It's
really interesting.
And what is the best lesson that you've learned in your career so far?
In terms of making music, just do what you want to do. Like, I spent so many, probably months, it'll end up being years, like stressing about what music I want to make and what will perform well on Spotify or, you know, stuff like that. But
yeah,
and then I ended up making, I released like hardly any music between 2018 and this year, because I was like stuck in such a rut knowing what music to make. Like I was making music. I probably made like 50 songs a year, you know, that didn't get released. But I was just like unsure and like whether it would do well, so that I never ended up properly mastering the songs. So now I've just like got in this mind frame of I'll make music when I feel like it, and I'll make the music that I want to make. And then like the songs I've coming up, yeah, I'm like so proud of. Like I just like have, most of my friends have heard them all, you know, I just like shove it down the throat, like, listen to this, what do you think of this song? Even the song I started today. In fact, there's a song I started yesterday that I've sent to like most of my friends, and as soon as this call's done, I'm gonna work on it again. So like I'm just so excited about making music again finally, and that's because I'm not putting the pressure on myself anymore, and I'm not forcing myself to make a certain type of music, like a certain type of music, a certain style of music. Like the songs I have coming out, just all similar but different, you know. I'm not sticking to doing the same thing over and over. So yeah, that's definitely the biggest lesson I've learned. And you just end up happier as a whole.
That's what it's all about, isn't it?
It is, because it started out as a hobby, like something I enjoy. And then the moment that it feels like work again and you're doing something for the sake of it, you don't enjoy it anymore. So you've got to keep the passion.
Thanks so much for speaking to me today. You've been an excellent guest on the podcast. And I'm going to let you go and get back to work on this new track, which I'm excited to hear.
I'll send it to you after. And I'll send you some of the songs I have coming out as well. I'd love to know what you think.
Yeah, I'd love to hear them.
I have some like really like crossover songs. And also it's my first ever podcast. So
an exclusive.
I'm glad it was with you.
Thanks for tuning into this episode. Be sure to hit subscribe and leave a comment to let us know what you think. And I will see you next time on Backstage Pass.